This is Doris Harrington of Westboro, and this is April 3rd, 1989, and she and I are sitting here, and we're talking about some of the remembrances that she has and some of the things that she has seen change so much. And would you tell me, how did you come back to Westboro, and where have you been?
Well, I've been in Boston area, 50 years, and I lived with a friend. We had lived together shared an apartment for a good many years all the time we worked.
Mm-hmm.
But the last few years we've had a few medical emergencies, and I decided, it was mostly my decision, that I've been thinking we needed to move, and then I heard about the Willows, and I knew immediately that was what we should do. She had a lot of relatives in Berlin, which would be handy
for
them, and if I had any roots at all, it was in Westboro, and so I thought that was the place for us.
Oh, good. Well, tell me about your roots, then. What are your roots in Westboro?
Well, I still belong to the Congregational Church.
After all those years? You never transferred to membership?
No.
No?
And
you were born here?
I was born in Westboro and grew up here, went through the school system. I lived here until after I graduated from Boston University.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I went to work, I wanted to live near where I worked.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so it would have been quite a commute every
day. Well, I commuted to Boston University 4 years.
Oh, did you?
And I commuted for a couple of years working in Boston, but I was spending too much time on the road.
It is. It is wearing.
So
yes.
I lived near where I worked all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in Boston and Brookline for 50 years about.
Mm-hmm.
So,
was it difficult for you to leave Boston and all its wonderful things, or had you reached a point of...
No, mainly because of the people that we knew so well and did things with had dispersed, either moved away or died.
Mm-hmm.
So it was getting to a point where we were sort of on a tangent.
Mm-hmm.
And if we wanted to see anybody, we had to drive 40 miles, So it was time.
Yes,
And we had done all the Boston things.
Oh, yes, I went to school in Boston.
And as you get older, you don't have to want to be moving home.
No, around like that, no. Well, now tell me about your home and where you were born and how you grew up.
Well, I was born in Westboro in 1911. I was born on Summer Street, but my folks moved to West Street when I was about 18 months old, so all my life in Westboro I lived at 7 West Street.
It's right up the road.
Right up the road.
Yes.
And went through school here.
And you showed us a very interesting picture yesterday when we were looking at the maps.
Yes.
And you told us about your grandfather,
that
built the farm.
My grandfather lived on a farm on what is now Route 9. It was the Boston Worcester Turnpike, and it was a dirt road, narrow dirt road. He had a dairy farm. My father was born there.
When was this?
My father was born in 1880. And then his father died suddenly when my father was 5 years old.
Oh, that was sad.
His father was a selectman of the town of Westboro at the time he died. And he was 32 years old.
Very young.
So my father had a brother and a sister. And they continued to live on the farm for, I think, 2 years, and then his mother died. So the children went to live with their grandmother on Flanders Road.
Oh, my!
was the walk-up property.
Oh, all right. I'm very familiar with that. People are.
Yes. And he went to high school in Westboro. He used to get up at the farm at 3 o'clock in the morning and milk the cows and take the milk to the Quarter Mill Railroad Station to be sent to Boston. And then he walked 3 miles to Westboro to high school.
Isn't that interesting?
Had a rugged time.
He certainly did, yes. That, now, looking at that property with Pell Pontiac and the Jade restaurant, and seeing the pictures that you had yesterday, what a beautiful farm.
It's a lovely farm.
Beautiful, beautiful farm.
Yes, and the land behind the house and the barn is what is part of the Hundreds development now.
I was so pleased that they didn't pass the change in the zoning bylaw so that we were going to have those apartments right behind Hundreds Road there.
Yes.
If they were going to do anything, I think you might agree with me, is let's leave part of it as open space and maybe put individual homes in there if they wanted to develop it.
There's going to be, what, 500 apartments?
Oh, over 500, 34 or 43 or something or other. But it was so interesting to me yesterday, that other photograph, old photograph you had with all the cows.
Yes, that was beautiful land.
Oh, yes, it must have been. Well, it still is.
Yes.
It still is
But it's covered with houses.
I know. But there is an area a little farther down the road, nearer to the walk-up, which is what they were talking about, to put that complex.
Yes.
And that's still pretty land.
Flanders Road is a wreck.
Oh.
Flanders Road in my youth, all my life practically, was a nice country road.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe two or three houses the whole length of the road. Real rural road. Now it's a commercial highway.
Oh, yes. Mm. The trucks go in and out of there.
Yes.
You know what happened when, you remember the Zarettis and he had a farm and all, and when he sold his farm, that was the end of Flanders Road as you and I know it.
Yes.
And you know it better than I. But I can't help but think that possibly when your father did this and took the milk, was it your father or grandfather?
My father.
That Westboro had a tremendous milk industry.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and they sent thousands of gallons of milk.
There were many big farms.
Yes.
Yeah. The nurses always had a big dairy farm.
Yes.
The yeomans.
Mm-hmm.
Many people. I don't think there's a working farm left, is there?
No, because even the Duns, you know, over there, they board horses, so they have the cows put in or something or other. And I know Mr. Luco, who lived over on Gleason and Fisher, he farmed, but of course he hasn't farmed for a while because he was quite ill. And he lost all that, too.
One of the, the Lucos were here in my youth.
Were they?
Oh, yes. John Luco was a classmate of mine in high school.
Then you must know Lillian.
Yes.
Yes. And Tom. And who else? I've forgotten. There were a couple of other sisters, too. And all. Well, Lillian hung on to that as long as she could, too. Lillian Harding, she hung on to her land. But when her brother died, it was very difficult for her. But, and we were looking at all the, you and I talked about the fact that the maps were hung too high.
Yes.
We were looking at the ones that were the aerial view of Westboro in the 60s. And all that beautiful open space. Duddy Ford wasn't there.
Oh, nothing.
Nothing on Otis Street except Hockamocka.
That's right.
And that little airport.
And Mrs. The Day girls lived in the house.
Yes, right on the corner.
Near Route 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was all right.
Yes.
And what about West Main Street?
Well, what about West Main Street, Ms. Harrington?
Well, the country club was about the end of the road. There was nothing beyond there, as I first remember it.
Mm-hmm. There must have been the big house that Wilkinson was in, because that was a Fay house.
Yes.
There were two or three Fay houses.
Yeah, and there was that Ward house.
Yes, but there was so much space between.
Yeah, all space. And the Vinyl house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I shouldn't say it stopped at the country club.
No. but they were big properties. There weren't any little houses.
Take that field up to the left, after Chestnut Street and before West Main turns off.
Mm-hmm.
Just a nice green field. And then all of a sudden, houses on both sides.
Yes.
And of course, the latest, which I think is, I really regret, is the Mataget Farm.
Yes.
It used to be a nice apple orchard.
Oh, it was a lovely apple orchard.
Streets and trees.
Yes.
And an incidental tree left Here and there.
Here and there.
By mistake, I guess.
Let's hope it's not by mistake. Yeah. But, no, I think what we're both decrying here is that even though you can build your town up, it's the way in which it has been snowballed.
Mm. I'm so glad to see the center looks about as it always did.
Does it?
Yes, the center of town.
Uh-huh.
But that's all.
Now, did you come into the center often? From, well, you only lived on West Street, so that wasn't... Did you ever go to Mrs. Winchenbeck's store?
Oh, yes.
And get an ice cream?
Yeah.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
And the candy.
Sanford's store, Sanford's dry goods store. That's
yes.
where Golden's is.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And Miss Denham's store on the corner.
On the other corner.
Yes.
Yes.
And Forbes and Newcomb was the market.
Across the street. Where the insurance company is now,
where
or right...
Yeah, where the newsroom is.
Yes, that...
area.
Yeah, that area.
It was a wooden building with a sort of a porch on the front. And the...
And a big pickle barrel.
Actually, and, and the cookies in big boxes with the isinglass front, you know, in bulk, you bought them in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
And since my mother never bought a cookie or a loaf of bread or anything, the biggest treat of my youth was to go to Forbes and Newcomb and get a store cookie.
Get a store-bought cookie. I know, isn't that funny?
Isn't that funny?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And of course the Old Town Hall was a wooden building
mm-hmm.
with a porch on the front and the Grand Army of the Republic rooms there and
mm-hmm.
the old fellows were sitting out front and were talking.
And you remember the bandstand? There was a bandstand right there on the...
Yeah.
But it was nice. It was really... I wish we still had a bandstand.
I do too. Well, it was a nice small town, and you
mm-hmm.
walked everywhere, and you knew everybody you met.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever met anybody I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's
no.
not true.
No, not anymore. You went to school, so did you go to the Eli Whitney and Harvey, or?
I went to the Harvey and the Eli Whitney, and the Maynard School up on School Street, that was 7th and 8th grade,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
the old high school
mm-hmm.
on School Street. And at the end of my sophomore year, we went into the new high school, Forbes High School.
1925.
They built that.
That's a lovely school. I hope they're planning now, and you probably heard it too at town meeting, they're planning to do some architectural drawings of how they can use it,
mm-hmm.
use the schoolrooms and all. This is a lovely auditorium.
Yes, it is.
Had all. I mean, the Forbes has built it with, mm-hmm. you know, great deal of...
The Diamonds were good contractors and they used good material.
Must
be. Built well.
It must be because look at the condition of that building.
One thing that appalled me was to look at the town hall auditorium with temporary partitions and just ruined.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they're hoping that they're going to be able to turn it back to its original use.
Oh.
And by utilizing the Forbes building and put those temporary offices over into the Forbes building.
Oh, I see.
So, and that's what's in the plans.
Oh, that would be good.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I was just abashed when I saw that. When I went into the town clerk's office to register, I guess,
mm-hmm.
I stepped up the steps just to look at the auditorium. I
remember the dances.
Oh.
Yes, and I can remember sitting up in the balcony there
yeah.
watching
yes.
the young people dance.
Yes.
And you had films, you had movies there?
In the old town hall, we had the Saturday afternoon matinee with the Wild West and the serials, you know?
Yes.
Carol White tied to the railroad
mm-hmm.
track and so forth. And we had a great time.
And then you had to wait till next week to find out what had happened.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes. Paul was at a crisis point. That was
the next favorite, yes.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy Chauncey? Was that something that you, Lake Chauncey, did you ever go out there to the dances? Or?
No. My mother and father did that.
Uh-huh.
They were great dancers
mm-hmm.
and the Buxtons.
Oh, that's nice.
Buxtons and the Forbeses and the Davises and there. Take this trolley down
mm-hmm. to Chauncey.
Yeah,
and go. The pictures of the pavilion
yeah.
and the lovely canoes. And
they always said that was a great dance floor.
It had spring. What, sort of like your shakers, only not quite.
I don't know what they call it. So
some kind of a spring dance floor or something. Yeah. So you never went canoeing on Lake Johnson?
No.
No?
I never was a swimmer.
Ice skating?
No, I didn't like it. I got the cold right away.
I know that beside the Episcopal Church on Blake Street, that used to
say that's where I used to ice skate some, but I never was a...
Oh, ice skating is cold.
I was quite a roller skater, but...
Now where did you roller skate?
Up and down the walks of St. Luke's Church.
That's right, you're right across the street from it.
That's the only place that had good...
Good sidewalks? Yeah. Good cement? Oh, for heaven's
sake. You could roll up the front to the front door and down here and then up to the driveway. And Father McGann tolerated that.
Yeah, well...
He didn't tolerate much from young people, but
that was,
we were neighbors. And, so...
No, I was interested in what you were saying about going out West Main Street, because when I started to do the surveys of the houses, and we live practically to the Grafton line, and we live right near the nurses, but not that's, you know, how Nurse Street goes down over there. And I would try to imagine in my mind what it would look like if all those other houses weren't there. It was one of my, you know, sort of relaxation and fantasies of what Westboro had been like.
Well, it was nice. Sugar Nurse was a classmate of mine in school. And they used to come on the barge. Not a bus, but the barge.
I've heard that before about a barge. Now, is a barge not a sleigh, not a pung?
No.
It's on wheels.
A wagon.
A wagon, all right.
Yeah.
A wagon. They call them barges.
Yeah.
You know, Marion Weil told me
that
she came to school.
Yeah, she would have come on the same on the barge.
Mm-hmm. On a barge.
I think you had to live 2.5 miles from town to be eligible for the barge.
And then you'd walk otherwise, yes. Did you go, you went home for lunch though, didn't you all go home for lunch?
Well, yes, except in high school, I think we had hours from 8:30 or 9 to 1, and then we were out for the day.
Oh.
Just one session.
Did you go longer days or longer month or
no?
Not to make anything
up. No, we went early enough so that we had.
You had the full hours
by 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
But most of the time, we had.
Yes.
Agnes Black was my first grade teacher, as she was everybody else's.
Yeah, I've heard that name,
was here a long, long time.
Yes. She was like Miss Mattie Fisher. She was a teacher a long
time. Yes, and Fales.
And the Gilmores.
I had them all.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Everybody remembers them very fondly that I've ever talked with.
Yeah. Well, Agnes Black was a great teacher, really, and everybody learned to read and to spell and everything in her class. There's no way you couldn't learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we'd be standing up around a table, and she was just pounding it in. This business of, you can't read or anything. It seems crazy to me.
Yeah, what would not have been tolerated. You couldn't go on.
No.
And they do, now they just sort of pass them along, and they do decry that they get in college and they can't read properly or write properly.
Well, she was a very good teacher, and Catherine Reddy was in, I didn't go to second grade, third grade, and then the Gilmores came along, and they were all here for so many years, you know.
Yes.
And Alice Gilmore had been to Clark University for summer course in geography the year that I had her. And she was high as a kite on geography. And I think that's where I knew. I'm pretty good at geography. I was pretty good at geography.
Mm-hmm.
I think her enthusiasm, she Professor Atwood was the be-all and end-all name in geography, and he taught at Clark, and she had it.
Mm-hmm.
So she was really...
What a treat for her, and then what a treat for you.
Yes, yes. She really gave me a lot of
joy. Well, that's good, and there's a lot of... It probably stood you in good stead over the years.
Yes, it did.
Because I know Mrs. Kane, taught social studies and the geography because social studies geography became the social studies.
Yeah, we never heard of social studies.
I didn't either. Never heard of it. We took geography and history. You know, that was it.
Right.
Well, what did you do when you were a little girl with your mother and all? I mean, did you have... chores at home, or did you have recreation, or did she teach you to cook? And
yes, mm-hmm. She taught me to cook. Mm-hmm. She was a very good cook. Anything we did around home. We never had an automobile.
No.
We didn't go anywhere.
No.
But there were plenty of children around.
Mm-hmm.
Always made our own.
Yeah. You play cards and
we play
hearts
cards
and fish
yeah.
and obeyed and
flinch.
Flinch. Now what's flinch?
Oh, that's with cards. Not with playing cards, but I had cards and it was I can't even remember about it except that it was...
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was. There were numbers on the cards. I don't remember the game.
No.
I remember the name and the...
It's an interesting name.
Yeah.
Were you musical?
I took piano lessons, but I didn't apply myself, which I wish I had done.
Oh.
I'd give anything now to be able to sit down and play the piano.
Mm-hmm. Did you do that on Sunday nights? Sing or gather around the piano and sing? Or
no.
Nothing
no.
like that?
But I was not about to practice.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I know, and it is true, because I taught piano for a while, and I've had pupils who come back and say, oh, I wish I had, you know.
Yeah, of course you do.
But
you'd love to be able to sit down now and play, but much too late.
Much too late. Well, you have such a wonderful programs at the Willows, though.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Have so much to do, you don't know which to do first. You know.
And to choose.
Well, we took piano lessons, and I was not for dancing.
We used to make fudge and pull taffy.
Yes.
Things like that.
Yeah.
You know. But you could. You never made your own butter.
Mm-hmm.
No, you bought your...
No. My father was a great gardener. He had the only garden. Nobody had town gardens in those days.
They didn't.
No, not until World War II came along with Victory Gardens. Mm-hmm. But my father grew up on a farm. He was a great gardener. So we had gardens at our house and supplied the neighborhood with vegetables in the summer because you always grow too much.
Oh, do you ever.
And
the beans all come at the same time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very good guy. But we, for amusement, not as a family, but the neighborhood kids, we'd go walk. We used to go down to Potter Spring, which is on Ruggles Street.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be able to find it even now.
Well, there's a little bit of a trickle
that you
can see, and there's a little culvert there, but we have to have real heavy rains and all for you to recognize it. But the pond is still in back on Denny and Ruggles.
Well, we used to walk down there, and we used to walk up to the big rock on Whitney Street.
Oh, did Parker's Folly.
Went to Parker's, to the Folly, and up to the big rock. The big rock doesn't look as big now.
Yes, as it did when you were young.
It was a big rock, and we used to climb up on it.
Mm-hmm.
It is still there, up by one of the Hero Boys.
Yes, they are now.
So we did walk.
Did you have any homework? Much homework? They didn't give any homework, did they?
I could take care of all my high school homework in the during the study period, hall, and then never took a phone call.
Never had to do it. I think it was much healthier. Like, you see the young people now, but of course everything has changed, but still, the studying that they have to do now. They don't have what you and I are just talking about, this freedom to go for a nice long walk like that.
Well, I suppose the territory is cut down. We don't have farms to walk on, or rural roads, or
No.
That must make some difference.
I imagine it does. Even to go on a bicycle, you're hard pressed to find.
Yeah, we had bikes. Mm. I used to ride. My father had given my mother a bike, and they were going together, and it was stored up in the attic. And I used to go up periodically and look at it and try it out, and they told me that I could have it when I was big enough to reach the pedal. So I used to go up periodically to measure it. And finally, my father relented, and he put some blocks on the pedals so that I could never shorten them up, you know. But this bicycle had no brake on it, no cluster brake. That hadn't been invented when he came to Europe. Mm-hmm. So I was going around, you know, having to pump all the time, or just take my feet off the try to hold the thing back going down a hill.
You lived dangerously,
yeah,
didn't you?
It wasn't the easiest thing to do. Yeah. But we did a lot of biking.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've heard that from others, you'd go over to Grafton,
in Southborough,
and Upton, because
yes.
Upton had a lovely road that you know, it's still pretty country when you go from
I'm Upton. Amazed at the Upton Road. Beyond the reservoir, there was never anything.
No, there wasn't.
No, the woods are full. And then as far as Ruggles Street is concerned, and some other places that I can't find to look at again.
No.
Everything's kind of this open land.
No. You remember the Crossmans?
Yes.
Yes, I remember them. It's and there was nothing all the way up there. There were a few houses on the way up Ruggles Hill.
Out in Ruggles Street there are very large houses. And I consider quite small plots of land.
Oh, they are.
Don't you think so?
They build almost lot line to lot line, as they call it.
Yes.
They put these great big houses.
Yeah.
And of course, that's what they did. They got in under the grandfather clause.
Mm-hmm.
Although out there, they were still building on small lots.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some larger lots downtown.
Yes, of course.
Really?
Yes.
And the house looks more... the dimensions look in contrast to the size of the land, they look better.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah. Well, that's one area that's just absolutely falling up around the reservoir, back at the reservoir too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, they must have big families, or what do they want such big houses for?
I don't know.
Four or five bedrooms?
And it was true that back when some of the larger houses around here were built, they had large families.
Yes, of course. And the mother was home.
Yes.
Taking care of the house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now they're probably two working people in a family just to pay the mortgage.
Oh, yes. Yes. So it really has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And even the shopping is so different than it was. So.
There's no grocery store downtown.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's a shame. That really is, because I think that we really need one, but now it's going to be way out on Route 9.
I know.
And you know, I miss, and you probably do too, is to be able to go into the grocery store and not have everything in cellophane.
Yes.
Like they do now.
Yes.
And your produce, and you could talk to the butcher and you could say to him, I'd like this cut of meat. Or the fish would come in and it would be, you knew it was fresh because his reputation was such, because in a small town like this.
Well, even in Boston, I worked in the financial district and I had a butcher down in Faneuil Hall before they remade that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would call him up early in the week if I wanted, if I thought I wanted corned beef, for instance, at the end of the week. I'd say, I have a small piece of corned beef, and he'd put it in the brine at the right time so that it would be just right when I picked it up Friday night.
Yes.
And I could always order my meat.
Mm-hmm.